Well, let's look tonight at Psalm number 71. Psalm number 71. It's exciting that you're getting this new church planted over in the Jasper area, and that's one of the things we were talking about today. Pastor was telling me about that area, and certainly be praying for you and your family as you go over there, get that started. And I know you all have done some church plants before, and that's a big part of what America needs. We need every town, every village needs a good, solid, Bible-believing church that'll help to make an impact on the area. And these larger towns need many such churches. And so we all do what we can in that regard, and I'm thankful that you're getting that one going. And I appreciate all that you do to help us help others, and I thank you for being a partner with us. Psalm 71, starting to read right at the top of the chapter, and we'll read the first 8 verses. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been held up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Now, if you look at verse 7 as the text or the verse around which I want to build a little bit here. Verse 7 says, the testimony of the psalmist, he said, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Now, when he says, I am as a wonder, you see, there are people watching, and they observe what a Christian is. And for folks who do it right, folks who are sincere, and they're not just pretending, but they're doing Christian things, a lot of folks watch, they see, and they wonder. They wonder what makes us tick. They may not have it lined up themselves, but they see when we've got it lined up. And that's why, I guess if I were going to give a title to what I'm giving you tonight, I would say, we got it, but they don't get it. See, they're looking at us and saying, what's the deal with this guy? What's the deal with this lady? We've got something they can't quite get a handle on. And this passage says, we are as a wonder unto many. There are multitudes of people. They see us, but they just don't get it. They hear what we have to say, but they just don't get it. They're puzzled by what they see and what they hear. What pleases us puzzles them. And they just don't have us figured out. Now, the fact is, you and I wouldn't have it either, except for the fact, the last part of that verse says, thou art my refuge. And that's the only credit any of us have. If we were left to do this on our own, we'd make a mess of everything. But whenever we look to the Lord, allow Him to guide us, allow Him to shelter us, allow Him to protect us, allow Him to provide for us, etc., then He becomes the refuge for our entire life. And the details of that are laid out here very carefully in this passage that I've read to you. In verse number 1, for example, he said that we have trusted Him. Now, you know, everything begins at that point where we put our trust in the Savior. Everything begins there. You have nothing going for you that is going to impact your life measurably in the right direction or that will measurably impact eternity for you. Nothing is going to work until you come to the point, come to the day where you say, right now, today, I put my trust in Him. And that's where the journey begins. If you'll notice also in the second part of that first verse, he says, let me never be put to confusion. Now, I think what he's basically saying, I'm convinced, I have convictions, and I don't want to get messed up on that. I don't want to plunge off into confusion. That's one of the reasons why I personally try to, and I know Brother Ross does. I mean, when we're up here, when we've got the microphone, we've got an opportunity to talk to you. It's not what we're into. We're not trying to get you to doubt this and doubt that and doubt something else. We want to offer you something that's in the book that is solid enough. We can say, park here, plant your feet here. You'll never regret being there. You'll never regret building on that. And so, he said, I don't want to go toward confusion. So he's just saying, I've got my convictions in place. I'm convinced of all of that. Here's the reason why we are a wonder. He's laying it out. Verse number 2, he tells us that the Lord's righteousness, see, he says, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. The Lord's righteousness is our escape from the snares of Satan, from the trappings of an old sin-laden world. I mean, there are things all up and down the highway. All over town, there are things, I mean, you could just drive in, go in, and be in trouble. But whenever you and I get focused on the Lord's right things, His righteousness, when we get focused thusly, that becomes our focus. That becomes the thing to which we look all the time. Then Satan's snares are flagged for us and we start saying no, no, no. We start saying no when we need to say no, simply because we have something that is our guide, and the Lord's righteousness is the thing that we hold in front of us, and we say, I'm headed toward that. So that is our escape from the snares of the of Satan and the trappings of the world. Look down at verse number 3. I like this one. He says, be thou my strong habitation. That's like saying, Lord, you're really my palace. You're really my mansion, Lord. You're the place where I want to live. And then he says, whereunto I will continually resort. Now, who doesn't want to go to a resort? Amen? Amen? I mean, people pay big money to go to a resort. And he says here, the Lord, I'm making my habitation with the Lord, and I mean, I just keep finding my way there. I know some people. They have a what they'll call a cabin, which ain't a cabin. They've got another house up on the lake or over in the forest or someplace. And every Friday, as soon as they can get loose, I mean, they head to the cabin. And they stay for a couple of days, and they do that, just seem to me like, all the time. And you say, what are they doing? They're living busy lives. They're working hard. They've got kids in school. They got all this stuff going on in their life. And so they've got this place to which they run for refuge. It is their resort. Now, if you've got a second house on the lake, God bless you. I hope you go to church when you're there. Now, don't leave the Lord out of your resorting. This passage says that the Lord is to be our resort. I mean, we get kicked around. We get people throwing rocks at us. We get things crashing on us. Things don't go well. And in the process of all of that, we need a place that is a safe refuge. And the Lord, he says, is our resort. Man, something happens, and every time it happens, the outside world says, well, you guys just start calling on God and start praying and all this kind of stuff. Yep. It's a wonder to them, but that's what we do. Now, the passage goes on to say, verse 3 further says that he is our rock solid foundation. Bottom part of the verse, for thou art my rock and my fortress. If the enemy shows up, it's nice to have a fort. You know? Verse number four says that, let's see, I'm down to verse number five. For thou art my hope. He is our hope. You say you live and you die and then you've got eternity coming. What is your hope for heaven? Well, it's the Lord. All right? And so verse number six then, he says, all of this being true, we're going to give voice to praise the Lord. He says, you've held me up from the time of my birth. My praise shall be continually of thee. You can't talk about the good things of God too much. You just can't talk about it. You know, somebody holds the door for me when I'm going in the front door at McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King, all those nice places I eat at a lot. And I do. Somebody holds the door for me. Routinely, my answer is, thank you so much and God bless you. I mean, we're just passing in the night, passing in the day. Maybe the only time I'll ever see them in my life, I don't have the time. They're moving, I'm moving. I don't have the time to say, hey, you know, Jesus died for you. But I can tweak them just a little bit with a little tiny witness. Just say, thank you so much and God bless you. And as a result of that, not too uncommon that people will say, well, God bless you. And then some others look at you and kind of duck their head and go. But just a little testimony using our voice to praise the Lord. Now, verse number eight then that I read says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and honor, and with thy honor all the day. We're going to do what we do to honor the Lord all day long, every day. And all of us fail at times, but I acknowledge the fact this is my direction. This is what we do. This is how we do it. We will honor him all the day. Now, all of that being in place, it's no wonder the testimony of verse 7 is, I am as a wonder unto many. We got something that the world in general does not have, and because we got it and they don't got it, they look at us and they say, what in the world is going on with you people? Now, let me inject here. Everything that we have, they too could have. You say, how do they get what we got? They get it the same way we got it. The Lord is not stingy. He is not partial to me or partial to you. He is willing to give the same thing that he's given to us to every other person who will come to it. So, yes, we got something they don't have, but the reason we keep talking about it is because we want them too to get it. We're not standing up and posturing and saying we're something great. We've got something because we know somebody great. And that makes all the difference. It provides something very special. Blessings come, and they come in full measure, but it seems awfully weird to the world because they just don't seem to get it. And they say, hey, this man, strange what this guy is. They say, why are all these people puzzled about this? Well, very clearly, the battle lines are drawn. They're drawn very, very clearly in our society. Those battle lines are between God and Satan, between good and evil, between right and left. I should say right and left, right and wrong, same thing, and between true and false, between Bible Christianity and whatever else there is. The battle lines are drawn between Scripture and culture. The battle lines are drawn between compassion and complacency. We've got churches, Pastor, you know them and I know them all across this land that are sound asleep. They're not starting new churches. They're not running bus routes. They're not showing care and concern. And that's part of the reason why we need new ones. Because some of them have died on the vine because they have stopped doing the things that this passage and others advocate. The battle lines are drawn between compassion and complacency, between hot and cold and a lot of other things. You say, where do we see that? We see it in government. We see it on the networks. We see it in the classroom. We see it in entertainment. We see it in sports. We see it in the churches. I mean, the battle lines are drawn everywhere. So what is the difference? Well, the difference is we do have a choice. And some people have made the choice for the difference. Made the choice. They say, I see somebody that got what the Bible talks about. I want to get what they got. So they come on board. There are others who are still out here. They don't get it. They don't have it. And they're not sure that they want that. Now, the difference is very clear. When we come to Christ, our worldview begins to take fresh shape. Our worldview. And by the way, it's amazing how many church-going people, I've seen some studies that some pollsters have done, and I don't always get too revved up about the polls because I know they can be twisted and distorted. But some of the pollsters have done some studies among some of the groups, some of the denominational groups, and literally scores, I mean, large numbers of people in some of those groups, they do not have anything that even begins to sound like a biblical worldview. They've got a worldview that's been shaped by the liberal, secularist, humanist, atheistic professors at the universities, but not by the Word of God. We're creationists because of our worldview. We're biblicists because of the worldview. What we've determined is right, and we've gone with that. The difference is our worldview. The difference is the authority that we allow to govern us. The authority, just as a word, authority is as big a problem as we have in America. So many people who go to church, and you'll hear them, and they say, man, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't want anybody to tell me anything about what I ought to do. And yet they'll be the very people who go right out and get in an automobile and drive down the street, and they can't drive down that street without yielding to authority. I mean, you're talking about fitting you into a tight mold. You realize they're not going to let me drive 100 miles an hour when I leave here? I mean, I haven't checked, but I'm guessing my car would probably do 100. But they won't let me do that on the street. You say, just a bunch of hard heads. That's what they are. I mean, shouldn't I get to do everything I want to do? You know, I go into restaurants. I don't see it as much as I used to, but I still see some restaurants that have signs up. It says, no shoes, no shirt, no service. And a bunch of them now got signs up that says mask. So I don't want to wear shoes. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a shirt. Well, you don't eat there. So what is the deal with those people? They got rules. Well, the Lord's got some rules too. And the quicker that we decide that authority is not a bad thing, the better off we'll be. All right? In fact, part of the reason they won't let me drive 900 miles an hour out here on this road because it wouldn't be good for me. Wouldn't be good for anybody else. All right? So the authority, I mean, they got some things figured out. So the difference with us is our worldview, our authority, our principles. We operate based on principles. You know, personalities, we all got one. And it's okay to lean with a personality, to follow a personality, as long as that personality is principled, and as long as the principles are in place, I can work with the personality. See, the personality ought not to be at the top of the food chain. Now, if the personality's got principles, then great. But if the principles are missing, we always put principle at the top. And the person who leads, whether it's the dad or the pastor or the president or whoever it is, there needs to be principles that governs his personality in order for the rest of us to go to the parade with him. Amen. All right, so our principles make a difference. Our moral values, our whole demeanor makes a difference. You know, I see some folks along the way sometimes. I would like to say to them, and I'm careful here, but I'd like to say to them, why don't you just get up in the morning and first thing make a decision, you're going to get up happy. Because every time you see them, they've got a little storm cloud hanging over them. You know? I think happiness is like a lot of other things. Just making some choices has a lot to do with it. And our demeanor, it's different from what's going on out in the world a lot. Our whole countenance. I mean, our vocabulary. I've had some guys say to me over the years after they got saved, they said to me kind of with a chuckle, they said, "I got saved and lost half my vocabulary." I said, "Well, good for you. I'm glad you did. Big dictionary will help fill in the gap." Amen? Now, our vocabulary, I mean, there's things because we are who we are in the Lord and because we've taken guidance from the Lord, there are things that we don't say. We might have used to say it, but we don't say it now. Why? Because it's ugly. It's profane. It's vulgar. It's just not something to say. And by the way, most things that you ought not say in public, you ought not say in private either. Most things. Now, so all of these things, I mean our appearance, our habits, our amusements, I mean all of those things contribute to the world looking at us, and they ought to know by the difference that they see that there is somebody who has made that difference. And we hope that when they look through us and see whatever it is that we're doing, that it is pointing them to the Savior. You know, I'm well aware that in my neighborhood we have some people who do not go to church at all, some that are not professing Christians. I don't know all of my neighbors in the whole neighborhood, but I know the ones around me fairly close. And I know some of them watch every move we make. And I'm okay with that. The only thing is, I want to always do something that will not push them away, but that will draw them closer. I want them to say, those people are the real deal. Those people are genuine. And I'm telling you, just being involved in the things that you're doing around the church here, it communicates to people. You know, our churches are not just exclusive clubs. Our churches are designed so that whoever walks through the door gets to come in and be treated with respect. They may not have anything. They don't have to have anything to come here. You say, well, some of them have some unusual problems. I know, and they need to be here. They need to be here. We want them to be here. And so even our labors and what we do as a fellowship, all of that communicates to the world. And there'll be people sometimes sitting out there. They may not be saved yet, but they're looking at everything we do, and they're saying, "I wonder what makes them do that. I wonder what makes them tick." We've got something they don't have, but they're watching what we have, and they're saying, "Wow, I just don't understand that. I just don't see that." They don't get it, but we have the answer for them. The answer is, Lord, you are our strong refuge. And He being our refuge makes all the difference. It's the source of our happiness. It's the source of our excitement. The source of our energy. It gives us cause to buck the tide of our society that's bent so wrong. It's not always easy to get up and take a stand on something, but if it's right to do, it's always right to do it. And do it in the right form, right spirit, right attitude. We buck the tide and take the guff that goes with that. And we do that not because that we're 9 feet tall, but we do that because we have this strong refuge, the Lord. And that makes all the difference. I've been on the phone a little bit today and was on the phone with Betty just a little bit ago down in Mayfield, where I told you this morning, Betty and I grew up there in that county. One of her brothers has a construction company putting in water lines and sewers and stuff. As soon as that happened, he got his equipment, got his crew, and they live only, I don't know, 12 miles maybe from Mayfield. But he's been there working long hours, and others are. Yes, yesterday on my way up here, I saw several semis loaded with lumber that were obviously headed to Paducah, to Mayfield, and other things like that. You'll see some of those stories already. You know, various groups are pitching in and helping. My niece, who lives in Paducah, told me that that their church last night had already put food together, and they were helping to feed the people who were working as well as people who were without homes. You know, and you look at all of that, and it tells you something. It tells you something. A lot of people with heart, a lot of people just surging to the crisis, not running from it, running to it, and doing what they can to be a help. And I'm telling you, a lot of that is either Christian people or people who've been influenced to think like the Lord would have us to think in regard to things like that. And I'm telling you, folks, you and I have something everybody could have. Everybody could have it. And they could get it the same way that we got it, by turning to the Lord and just yielding ourselves to Him. And if you and I will function like we ought to, there will be some of them who don't have it now who will have it tomorrow, next week, next year, simply because we stayed faithful, stayed steady, stayed consistent. I ran across this verse a few weeks back. It's been in my Bible all along, but it never grabbed me. And I looked at it, I read it, I've got it highlighted with a green highlighter. And I said, when the psalmist said, "I am as a wonder unto many," I got to thinking, I wonder what caused everybody to look at him with such an attitude and say, you know, what is the deal with all of this off, what they think is off the norm stuff? What are they thinking about? They think he's weird because he does all of this stuff. And it just dawned on me. And in the same similar fashion, there are folks sometimes, they look at us and they look at us out of the corner of their eye. But if you and I walk the walk, do it steadily, do it consistently, you'll be glad you did one day. In heaven, we'll have some folks come up to us and say, "I wouldn't be here if it weren't for your walk. Wouldn't be here if it weren't for the way you function." You know, being a pastor through a lot of years, seeing a lot of people come to Christ. I mean, I've had the privilege already to have people. Sometimes I bump into them somewhere and they'll come up and throw their arms around me and say, "If it wasn't for you, I still wouldn't be saved." And you know, when we get to heaven, I think some of those folks who made it because we stayed faithful, we'll be glad we did. We'll be glad. I mean, we can be glad now because it's right to do. It feels good to do it. But we'll be real glad when we know that folks got in because of what we got that made a difference in us. We may never see them get it. Somebody else may see them get it. I was telling the pastor and them at lunch today about someone who recently got saved that I've had a little part in helping to nurture them along. But then I didn't get to lead them to Christ. Somebody else did just a week ago. Now, you know, now I would have liked to have had the privilege, but I'm just as excited because somebody else got them in. He said, "I'm as a wonder unto many, but thou, Lord, you are my strong refuge." Don't you ever forget, you do have a refuge. You do have a strong habitation. You have one to whom you can go, who is your resort. And you can resort to him anytime you need him. Good times or bad times, you can resort to him. The world may look at you in some of your bad times and see you staying steady, and they may not have you figured out. They may say, I just don't get it. But you stay steady and they may get it. They may. We got it. They don't get it. But we're hoping and praying that they will. All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, I'm mighty grateful always to be here and to be at Blessed Hope, be Brother Ross and his people. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege that I have every single time to open this book and just talk about the things you put in there for us. Things that will enable us, things that will strengthen us, things that will undergird us in our work and trying to be a blessing to others. And so, dear Lord, I pray for every family here. I pray for every single person in this room, whether they've been saved a little while or a long time. Lord, help us all that we will be steady, consistent. We'll walk the walk that we need to walk. And let other people see it and not be ashamed to let them see. I'll thank you for what you do in this service. Give us, I pray, your full blessing. In Jesus' name.